of Philippians. Go back with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. We will do a separate study on that at some point in the future, just about translations in the Bible that became the Word of God. Okay. Philippians chapter number 3, we've spent, we've spent quite a bit of time already here in Philippians chapter number 3, and we're going to spend some time again today. We want to go all the way down, if you would, to verse 7. He says, Philippians 3, 7, he says, "But things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that we can take some time to look into your word this morning. We ask for your help as we do so, that we would realize that this passage that we are studying on right now and have spent some time the last few weeks on is such a deep passage that there's so much here. Wonderful. It challenges our thinking. It challenges the decisions that we make. It challenges where we choose to find our joy. And it challenges the resource that we appeal to face the details of life. But it doesn't just challenge us with these things. It gives us the answer, and that is Christ Jesus. So we pray and ask God that our request to you is that as we continue to study this passage, that we would allow passages like this to remind us on a regular basis to ask ourselves, who are we trusting? Where are we to find our joy and peace and assurance and rest? Who, in whom are we seeking to live life? From whom? And out of whom? And we ask this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, the title to the message today is The Greatest Pursuit. The Greatest Pursuit. People spend their lives pursuing a lot of things. Some people will pursue sports. Want to go and try in the Olympics and pursue to get a gold medal. Others pursue other types of sports. Maybe they want to be the best golfer in the world. Things like that. Others pursue a wealth of riches. They pursue whatever it takes to become wealthy in this world, maybe in the stock market. Boy, with all the stuff that happened in the stock market this week with GameStop, whoa. Yeah. Anyway, that's another whole issue, right? People will pursue fame. They will pursue popularity. They'll pursue all kinds of things. But you know what happens in the end? You still die. Okay, what's the bumper sticker? It says, "Dies with the most toys, still dies." You know, that's an alternative translation of the one that says, "He who dies with the most toys wins." No, he doesn't win. He still dies. He can't take any of the toys with him. Okay, y'all understand that. And so when we read a passage like this, it's so powerful to convict our heart, as it were, to convict my heart with the fact that we need to pursue that which is worth pursuing. That doesn't mean you can't have hobbies. That doesn't mean that you can't pursue, say, good health and that type of thing. It doesn't mean that you can't pursue becoming a good business, doing good business practices, things like that. But it just means that we always need to keep in mind, what am I making the real pursuit in my life? Who is it that I'm seeking to live life out of and from? And all the way through this passage, in so many different ways, the Apostle Paul saying is about Christ. It is in Him. It is through Him. It is by Him. He is the greatest pursuit. Pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. The prize is to win Christ. And we've already talked about in several different ways that to win Christ is to win Him here, now, today, in this challenge, and then in the next challenge, and then in the next struggle, to be able to wake up in the morning and make a choice. I want to win Christ today. I want to be found in Him today. As I face some challenge in life today, I want to look at that challenge from the standpoint that I am in Christ. I am a member of the body of Christ. I am an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. My home is in the heavenly places. And I'm here on planet Earth as a member of His body. So I want to live out of the resource of Christ in my life. I want to be found in Him. I want to be found functioning in Him. And then at the end of the day, you know, you lay your head on your pillow and you kind of review the day, what it was like. Did you accomplish your goals? And then you're kind of setting up for the next day. And you want to be able to ask the question and say, with an objective standard, not a self-condemning or filled with pride, but an objective standard, you want to say, well, did I win Christ today? Was I found in Him today? That struggle, when I had this event happen and I got into an argument or got into a fight or began to tell a story that wasn't accurate or began to do this or that, was I in Christ? Was I found in Christ? Did I win Christ? You see that? This is all real practical. Okay, this is all real practical. Paul is describing this, a walk of faith of living out of Christ as our life. And when you look back at verse 10, he says, and we talked about this in detail last week, he says, that I may know Him. I want to know Him just more and more and more and more every day in every situation. I want to think with His words, because we have the mind of Christ. I want to take His words and let His words affect how I think about whatever that situation is. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of, notice, His resurrection. I want to know the power of the reality of His resurrection in my life right here, right now, right today, in whatever the situation is. He says, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. He is in the ship with us. We are in the ship with Him. We are His body. We're members of His flesh, of His bone. He's with us and we're with Him. He says, the fellowship of His sufferings. I tried to emphasize last week that keep in mind that anytime you're ever going through affliction, suffering, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whatever it might be, always remember the Lord is not only aware of it, He's not aware of it in a sense of from a distance. He's aware of it because He's right there with you, because He endures you by means of His Holy Spirit. You are not alone. You're never alone. The Apostle Paul says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, he says. See that? All men, you might feel abandoned by all men at some point, but the Lord will never abandon you. Truly, it's the fellowship of His sufferings. And then he goes on to say, the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto his death. We kind of contrasted that verse last week. Romans chapter number 12, Paul says, be not conformed to this world in Romans 12, and he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind and by the process of letting the Word of God transform us by renewing our mind. That's how, instead of being conformed to this world, we're able to be conformed unto his death. We're conformable, able to be conformed unto his death. And we finished last week by emphasizing that verse 10. Notice this. Notice verse 10. To know him, his resurrection, his suffering, his death. The lead to that whole sequence is to know him. And how do we know him? We know him by knowing his word, letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, not sparingly, but richly. Let there be way more verses of Scripture in your inner man than there are dollars in your bank account. Okay? That's kind of a joke, right? Because people can kind of understand the idea of sparingly. Man, I only have a few bucks left at the end of my money or whatever, you know, I have a few bucks left at the end of the month, and man, I can't wait. I got to get the next pay. So people spare. They don't have much. But that's not what we want to do with the Word of God. We have the rich, full Word of God. We have the mind of Christ. Let the Word of God dwell in us richly in all wisdom. Let it be. So the way that we can know the power of it, the ability of His resurrection in us right now, the way we can know and experience and get through the fellowship of His sufferings, even to the capacity, if it brings us even to death, whether physical death or, as Paul says, I die daily, to die to self. Daily to recognize Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. He says to be made conformable unto his death. And then we want to pick up today. Now, he says at verse 11, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, we need to understand something, first of all, about verse 11. When he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, the if in that verse is not the if of doubt. That verse is not, Paul is not saying that verse that, man, I got to measure up. I got to do better. I got to really achieve so that I can be raised from the dead. That's not at all what Paul is speaking about in that verse. As a member of the church, the body of Christ, Paul is absolutely guaranteed to be raised from the dead when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to the church, the body of Christ. Okay? Look with me, for example, over to... Make sure you get this point, because people interpret that verse in a strange way. They say, well, see, Paul right here doesn't know for sure if he's going to be in the resurrection. Like, what? Look over to 1 Corinthians 15. Look over to 1 Corinthians 15. Pretty much the whole chapter is about resurrection, and the last half of the chapter is about the bodily resurrection in particular. And he says, at 1 Corinthians 15, at verse 49, he says this, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And that's in resurrection. So we're just talking about resurrection. Okay? So he doesn't doubt at all that if he was to die before the event that we call the rapture happens, he would go up in the resurrection. Look at verse 50. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither not corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The Apostle Paul clearly, even though he anticipated and expected and lived in the light of the belief that the rapture could have happened in his own lifetime, he clearly knew it didn't happen in his lifetime, that he would physically die, and yet he would be raised from dead as a member of the church, the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, 1. It says this. 2 Corinthians number 5 in verse 1. Now, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we... By the way, the Apostle Paul includes himself in the we there. Okay? Do I need to say more about that? The Apostle Paul includes himself in the we. He says, for we know that if our house of this tabernacle were dissolved, he's talking about the body, friends. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. There's resurrection, friend. The Apostle Paul knew that he would be in the resurrection of the church, the body of Christ, at the rapture, if the rapture hadn't happened in his own lifetime. Okay? I'm gonna kind of side note and then come back here because of some crazy, just nonsensical teaching that's coming up out of this passage. I want you to watch something here. I want you to notice something here. Go back with me. Get a piece of paper and I want you to write something down. Get a piece of paper and write something down. Look back at 2 Corinthians 4, 7. It says, but we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. Everybody see that? He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Jump down to verse 10. Always bearing about in what? The body. Look at verse 10. Always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Everybody see that there? 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in, watch this, our mortal flesh. Keep reading. By the way, jump ahead to verse 13. He says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Paul knew he would be in the the body of Christ. Now keep reading. Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16 and notice what it says. For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man, you've got outward man, he says, the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now look at chapter number 5. The first word is for. He's not changing the subject nor the audience he's speaking to, friends. Please understand that. And I know you do. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle. I don't know if you can see that it's behind the pulpit there, but it's our earthly house of this tabernacle. Okay? Can you all see that? There's a teaching out there that since the word tabernacle is used, then Paul is not talking to the body of Christ. Friends, that's just utter nonsense. It's just so completely bizarre nonsense reasoning. Okay? Look at the pattern in the context. The context, 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 context. Watch his context. In the context, Paul is demonstrating the fact that in the body of Christ, God has put this treasure in us. So we need to live out of the resource of the treasure that God has put in us. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Vessels that are, they're just made of clay. And that is the body. That's where your soul and spirit lives. It's our body. Those that have the treasure in the earthen vessel. It's our mortal flesh. It's a body that's mortal, therefore it's subject to death. It is our outward man. Not the inward man, it's the outward man. It is our earthly house of this tabernacle. The tabernacle is where the spirit lives, where you live. He's not changing subjects there and talking to a different audience, friends. There's a flow here. You see how the Holy Spirit uses different phrases to describe the nature, the reality of the outer man relative to the value and the permanent nature of the treasure that's in us in our inner man. The outer man is just it's earthen, it's clay, and it's a vessel, and it's a breakable vessel at that. It is the body. The body is external. It's temporary. Your body is not the permanent part of you. Your soul and spirit are eternal. Your body is just made of carbon. And it's our body. Now it's personal. It's a body that's got sin in it. That's why it's a mortal body. It's subject to death. It's the flesh, the mortal flesh. Sin is resident in the flesh. It's our outward man. It is not who you are in the inside. It's just it's our earthly house. It's the house that you live in while you are here on this earth. And it is indeed going to be dissolved one day. Understand this. Dissolved. Well, look at the pattern, friends. It's an earthen vessel. It's clay. It's the body. It's mortal because it's going to die. It's perishing. The outer man perishes. It's clear that the word dissolved is in relationship. It's going to die. It's going to break down to its basic dust, as it were. From dust thou art, and the dust shalt thou return. Now, my point, I'm getting back on track here, okay? My point is this. The Apostle Paul knew that he, as a member of the church, the body of Christ, the Apostle Paul knew that he absolutely was going to be, if the rapture didn't happen in his lifetime, he knew with absolute certainty that he was going to be in the resurrection of the church, the body of Christ, at the rapture. So when you turn back to Philippians chapter number 3 now, you go back to Philippians chapter number 3, he says in Philippians chapter number 3, at verse 11, when he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He's not doubting whether or not he's going to be bodily raised from the dead. I know you see that, but it's interesting how many commentators don't see that. But then, what is he talking about? When he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What is that? Well, let me have you look at three other passages. I'm going to erase this here. I'm going to have you look at three other passages, and I want to emphasize, I'm going to use, when he says at verse, if by any means, watch this. So, if by any means I might attain It's important to note, by the way, that the word is attain, not obtain. It's not O-B-T-A-I-N. It is A-T-T-A-I-N. Those are two different words. Okay, and the difference is significant, by the way. Okay? I want you to notice a couple of places where that phrase appears. Go with me to the book of Acts here. The book of Acts, chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. Watch this. In Acts 27, there's some information here that Luke gives us, as the writer of Acts, gives us about this ship that Paul was going to get on and then was going to sail. The intention was eventually to sail over to Rome. Okay? There's, look down, you would, at verse 9. It says, now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now watch verse 12, and here it is. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in. The haven, that's like a coastal line, a haven, a harbor where the ship was. And it says, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. So leave from that place where they had found harbor. And then here it is. If by any means they might attain. Look at that phrase. If by any means, it says, they might attain. You see that phrase there? It's almost identical except the one word there. But notice what it says here. It says, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is in and lieth toward the southwest and towards north. What's the sense of when it says at that verse, what's the sense when it says, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice? What was their goal? What was their intention? Was, hey, you know what? The harbor we're in right now is not safe because there's storms coming at this time of year, as it were, and they're going to beat up any ships in this particular harbor. So, by any means, we got to get out of here now, and we got to get over to Phoenice. It's going to take some energy and some effort and so forth. If by any means they might attain to a different location than where they were. You can see that the phrase, if by any means, is not the sense of doubt, but a statement of purpose, a statement of intention. We got to get out of here to get over here. We got to leave this harbor if by any means we attain that harbor. It's not a statement of doubt. It's a statement of purpose, a statement of intention. We got to get out of this harbor to get to this one, because we're not going to survive in this one, as it were. Okay? The sense in that verse here. Now go to Romans chapter number 1. You're going to see it again over here. Look at Romans and chapter number 1. Look over to Romans and chapter number 1 here, if you would. Romans chapter number 1. Watch at verse 10. Look over to Romans and chapter number 1, verse 10. Paul says here, Paul's desire is to get to Rome to teach them and so forth. He says, go back to verse 9. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. There it is again. If by any means. If there it is. If by any means. The if there is not the if of doubt. It's the if of intention, purpose. Paul in his prayer to God in that verse is saying, Lord, I gotta get to these people. Lord, help. Help me get there. Buy me an airplane ticket. Whatever. They didn't have airplanes back then. Lord, help me get to them. He says, if by any, whatever it takes, I got to get to them. It's not the if of doubt, it's the if of intention, the if of purpose, the if of desire, as it were. Not the if of questioning whether or not it's ever going to come to pass, okay? If by any means, he's making requests, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. See that? Look with me at one more. Go to chapter number 11 in Romans. Look over to Romans and chapter number 11. Look at Romans chapter number 11, verse 13, and it's going to be in verse 14. Okay? Look at Romans 11, verse 13. The Apostle Paul says this, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means," there it is, there's our phrase again, "if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them." Again, the if there is not the if of intention, the if of purpose, the if of let's get this thing done. And you can see in the context here, he's talking about his apostleship. As the apostle of the Gentiles, he says at verse 13 now, "For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." How? "If by any means, by any means necessary, I'll magnify mine office, if by any means I provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them." He says, man, the way that I'm going to provoke my flesh, that is his flesh, the Israelites, okay? The way that I'm going to provoke those unsaved Israelites to become saved is I'm going to push my Gentile apostleship. I'm going to go out and I'm going to make this message known to the Gentiles. Everywhere I go, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ, as it were, according to the revelation of the mystery. I'm going to preach the gospel, the grace of God. Paul says, man, by me magnifying mine office, by me emphasizing my apostleship, by him preaching the doctrine that God gave to him, that's the means, by any way necessary. That's how he is going to, as he says, by any means, provoke to emulation, to provoke to jealousy, them which are my flesh and might save some of them. So you can see in all three of those cases, and then you bring that back with you over to the book of Philippians now. You go back to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3 there. It's very, very clear then that when he says in Philippians 3, verse 11, it says, "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead," it's not the if of doubt, it's the if of intention, the if of purpose. And you'll notice as well that verse 11 is connected to verse 10. Go back to verse 10, and he said it this way. He said it this way, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." See, it's I want to know him, his resurrection, his sufferings, his death. So when he says at verse 11, "If by any means, whatever it takes," it's not the if of doubt, it's the if of intention, to know and experience this, that is how we attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not physical bodily resurrection at the rapture. We demonstrate that that's not his point there. He wants to experience, let me say it this way. Let me just say it. You know Romans 6? Anybody here know Romans 6? Romans 6 says, it says we're dead to sin, but that's not all it says. Romans 6 says we're dead to sin and alive unto God. Maybe I'll say it this way and it'll register for me. Okay, maybe for you too. This passage is Romans chapter 6 on steroids. Does that make sense? This passage right here, when Paul says, "If by any means, man, I want to attain unto the resurrection of death." That resurrection resurrection life of Jesus Christ that is in me, that I have right here, right now, man, I want to, by any means, I want to grasp that. I want to get a hold of it. I want to attain it. I want to let it function in my life. I want to see the reality of it. Again, the power of His resurrection. Joining together, realizing it's His sufferings, being made conformable to His death. That's how I obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Look at these verses here. I know I'm going to run out of time way too fast here. Go back to Romans 6. Just think of it this way. Romans chapter 6 on steroids. Okay? Romans chapter number 6. Look at these verses. Let me just try to emphasize something and we're going to have to wrap this up for today. Look at this. We got baptized into the death of Christ as the just payment for our sins. To be taken out of Adam and placed into Christ. Buried with Him. Okay, why buried? Buried is that it's the final putting away, as it were. So our identity in Adam was put away, once and for all, forever. But why was it necessary for us to also be placed in Christ's resurrection? Resurrected, I should say. We were baptized. We say it this way. We were baptized into His death and His burial and His resurrection. Why do you need to be baptized into His resurrection? Why do we need to be totally, completely identified in every possible way in Christ resurrected? Well, because that's the issue of life, eternal life, right here, right now. When it says here, Romans chapter number 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? That takes care of the sin issue. Our identity into Adam. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Therefore, that history is done and over with. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also, and here is, should walk in newness of life. Whose life? Not my life. Christ's life. Because we're baptized into Christ's life, as it were, Christ resurrected, we now really are able to, not that we always do it, by the way, but God has fully made it possible for us as believers to walk newness of life. That's the picture right there. We want to know Him, His resurrection, His sufferings, being made conformable to His death, because on the other side of His death is life. Resurrection life. He says this in Romans 6 at verse 11. Romans 6:11 says this. Likewise, I tell you, let me go back to verse 9. It says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. Death can never get Him again. Never, never. You know why? Because the first time He took it on, He defeated it. It only took one time. He beat it the first time He ever tried. Verse 10, for in that He died unto sin once. That's all it took. But in that He liveth, He liveth unto God. Christ lives unto God now. He's on resurrection ground. And He is our life. That's your life. That's your life. You're not in Adam anymore. Adam's not your resource. Christ is who you're in. Christ is our resource. And so He says this, likewise, reckon ye also. Now it's important to get that. When He says, likewise, reckon ye all to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Someone besides you and me, someone is the also that reckons us right now to be dead unto sin, dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Who is that? Who is it that reckoned you to be dead in sin and alive unto God before you ever reckoned you to be that? The Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When they look at your identity now in Christ, you are as alive from the dead, you are as alive as Jesus Christ is. No less. God reckons it so. So he says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Very important now. He doesn't say through you. He doesn't say through how much you believe it, through how much you reckon it to be so, or through how often you reckon upon it to be true in your life. That's not what that verse says. That verse says through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a reference to your identity in Christ. Who you are in Christ, who God made us to be in Christ. He says at verse 13, 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead. That's who you are. You are alive from the dead. Listen, the death that matters, the physical death that matters, the physical death that could have determined your eternal destiny, you have already experienced when you were baptized by the Spirit of God to the very death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. You've already experienced that one. The death that's going to get your body, your physical body, if the rapture doesn't happen before that happens, before death gets your body, that death's not going to determine that you go to hell. The death that could have determined you going to hell, that death you've already experienced, friends, at Calvary, Romans 6. And now he's telling us that we are alive from the dead. And the emphasis here in Romans 6 is God has now placed us into Christ. Christ is our life. We are alive unto God. We really and truly are. And now God thus has equipped us to say no to sin, no to the flesh, no to the devil. When you come to the book of Philippians, this whole section here, this is like Romans 6 on steroids. You're way beyond simply saying no to sin and no to the flesh. The Philippians were mature believers. It's not that they didn't struggle with sins. Of course they struggle with sins. All believers do and so forth. But their level of struggle, in the case of the Apostle Paul, he says, if by any means I might attain. The things that Paul struggled with, it's not that he didn't struggle with the flesh or sin. Of course he had the flesh and sin still. But the decisions were way beyond, as it were, you know, don't commit adultery, don't fornicate, don't rob the bank, that kind of a thing. The things that he's taught, they're way beyond that. Again, that's why I said this is kind of like Romans chapter 6 on steroids. It's way to a whole nother level, and it's the learning to rely upon the fact that in Christ, we are alive. Let's look at two other passages and then we'll close for today. I clearly didn't get near as far as I wanted to. Go with me, if you would, to Colossians. We did look at these two last week. Right at the end, we're going to look at them again. Look over to the book of Colossians and chapter number 2 here. Look over to Colossians and chapter number 2. Before you get that, go to Ephesians. I'm obviously a little over time, but you're all at home, right? So you don't have to get in your car and go back to home, and so we can go a little over time, right? Look, go back to Ephesians. I want to emphasize this issue again. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, verse 4, and it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and here it is now, hath quickened us together with Christ. Quickened there. To be made alive. Vibrant life. Living life. Not barely just alive with your last breath kind of life. That verse says, has quickened us together with Christ. Take a moment to let yourself believe. Even if you believed it before, believe it again. Even if you believed it before to 20%, now believe it to 30%. If you believed it 50% before, now believe it 100%. And then believe it again now, and again now, and again now. See, we got to see ourselves. God really quickened us together with Christ. We are in Christ resurrected. We are as alive unto God as Jesus Christ is. Look at Colossians chapter number 2 here. Verse 13. Colossians 2:13. Being in your sins, Colossians 2:13, and you being in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Quickened together with him. Quickened. Did God quicken Christ? Yes. When he quickened Christ, he quickened you. You have been quickened together with him. Go to chapter 3. Go to chapter 3 of Colossians. Chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. The if again, it's not the if of doubt. It's the if of logic. It's look at who we are. If ye then be risen with Christ. Well, you first of all have to decide. God says you have been risen with Christ, but you got to decide, are you going to trust that it is so? God says we have been risen with Christ. So the appeal is, since it is so, if you then be risen with Christ, and we have been, and we are, then do this. Those things which are above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's those heavenly places. The realm, the rulership, the authority, those positions in the heavenly places, the destiny of the church, the body of Christ. He says, set your affection on things above. Not on things on the earth. We need to set our affections on God's plan and purpose for the church, the body of Christ in the heaven. It's not his plan and purpose for Israel on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I submit to you, go back with me to Philippians chapter 3, when he says, if by any means, in Philippians 3:11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, what he says in Philippians chapter 3 is Colossians chapter 3. He's saying, you know what? Christ is our life. Paul, by any means, getting the Word of God in him, that any means are, might be suffering, might be death, by any means. Back in chapter number 1, he says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says, back in chapter 1, that Christ could be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And if he was going to continue to live life, he would continue to experience sufferings. If he physically died, the sufferings would be ended and he would go to glory. And he says, if by any means, sufferings or death, I might attain, I might grasp, get a hold of, lay a hold of, like he says in Philippians, in 1 Timothy 6, to lay hold on eternal life, to grasp it, get a hold of it, and let it get a hold of us. Now, I think we all can objectively admit to ourselves that this is high ground. And in admitting that to ourselves, it is not to condemn ourselves. It is not to say, woe is me, I've been such a bad Christian, I just haven't walked by faith, I just haven't... No, that's not... Hear what Paul goes on to say, which we're going to study this next time. He says, So I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. He says, you know, I just keep pursuing. I just keep pursuing. I just keep following after. To apprehend that for which also I have been apprehended by Christ. He says, man, I just want to get a hold of it. We're going to talk about this in great detail next time. Don't allow this passage to be something that condemns you. Because that's not the point. That's not why he wrote this. This passage is not to get us down, not to discourage us, not to say you've been such a bad Christian. You just can't you be more like Paul? Well, yeah, no. How about no? This is not a measure up thing that you fail to measure up, therefore beat yourself up and you fail. That's not why the Holy Spirit had Paul write this. The Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul write this to bring to our attention, to bring to our eyes the greatest pursuit, the greatest prize, the greatest find, the greatest knowledge, the greatest power, the greatest fellowship, the greatest conformity, the greatest thing to attain to is the Lord Jesus Christ. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, to know Him, to win Him, to pursue Him, to let Him be the focus, the essence. When we get up out of bed in the morning and go through the challenges of the life today, you go to work, you're trying to pay your bills, you're trying to figure out how I'm going to pay rent, how am I going to pay the mortgage, how am I going to feed the kids, how are we going to get through COVID, how are we going to get through the lockdowns, whatever it might be. You're always remembering, you know what? Christ is my life. He's my resource. I'm alive in Him. Lord, understand a little bit more every day. Even if it's just one baby step every day, one little step every day, help me to understand more and more how to learn to let Christ, who is my life, to be my life. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we are grateful that we could take some time this morning to look into such a wonderful passage. A passage that it is deep, it's profound, it's rich, it's wonderful because it just in so many different ways keeps unfolding to us the wonder, the majesty, the glory of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and who He is and who He is to you and who you have made Him to be to us. And who you have made Him. Father, we so desperately need your help in not only understanding these passages, but then to learn how in life, in the details of life, to let these verses dwell in us richly and thus in life to experience, as Paul says, the power of His resurrection. We thank you for this blessed passage of Scripture. In precious name, we give thee praise and honor. Amen.